Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Hadlin, Ryan Elkin in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming from the Radio Bunker. Join us on the horn right now as he does every Tuesday morning. A real Michigan man, did his GA years under John Beilein at the University of Michigan. Graduated from Concordia. He's now an assistant coach at Ohio University. The Bobcats, they went to the NCAA tournament. Our good friend, the coach, Kyle Barlow. Coach Barlow, my friend, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us this morning. How are you, man?
I'm great, and it's a great morning, man. And you know, I just want to shout out, listening to the show yesterday, I just want to shout out Shep again. You know I shout him out a lot. I love Shep, man. And good dude, you know, voice of the Tigers. I love it. Does a great job on the broadcast and just an overall great person, man.
I tell you what, I don't know how he did this program for so many years, traveling the way that he did and trying to call games and late for Fox Sports Detroit, you know, whether he was working in studio or calling a game and then doing the games for Michigan and then waking up and doing radio first thing in the morning.
We'd be on the road in Michigan and, you know, we'd sit and maybe have a beer, you know, and talk, but it was like this dude had to be up at 5:30 in the morning, and then he was recording his show in the morning or doing a show remotely in the morning. He's doing Fox Sports Detroit. He's doing the Michigan game. Like, I'm like, man, this dude, like, he's a model of work ethic, man. And got to know him my time at Michigan and just really enjoyed the conversations where we have. Really smart sports mind, as everybody knows, you know, just like yourself, but just a very smart sports mind and very fun to talk to.
Yeah, and Dan in the studio actually works for Fox Sports Detroit as well. So he's on like a, I don't know if he's working like 39 straight days or some sort of crazy bender where he had the Pistons game on Sunday night against the Clippers for like a 10 o'clock tip off. And I saw him a Monday morning on the camera and I was like, oh boy, come on, hang in there, Dano. We're almost home, man. It's almost nap time. But then of course he had the Tigers last night, their series against Houston, and the poor guy's just grinding it out. But that's the world of sports. Before we get into these heavy hitting topics, I just wanted to know, what do you do now? Like, the season's over. We've crowned a champion. We have one of those. So what does your day to day look like? What's your schedule look like? What did you get done yesterday?
You know, what's funny is, you know, people think that we just coach basketball and we go home, right? You know, some people think that, not everyone, but I was reminded of a story a long time ago. Actually, Coach Beilein would tell the story and I forget the actual names, but you know, it was a guy who, you know, the season just ended, you know, the Final Four just ended, the final game just ended, and a coach didn't show up to the office until 10 a.m., right? And he's, you know, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, the season's over, you know, we don't got practice, we don't got scout, we don't got what. And he's like, oh, well, you know, like, that's not how we do things, man. We're here to work. He's like, do you think that, I think it was Judd Heathcote, 1979, you think Judd Heathcote, is letting his, they just won the national championship. Magic, they just won the national. You think they're letting their staff sleep in? And he's like, Coach, I don't know. He's like, why don't you call their office right now? See if they answer. So the guy, you know, said, oh, okay. You know, my boss is getting on me. I'll call the office. So he calls the office. No one answered. So he's feeling pretty good about himself. He's like, Coach, nobody answered. He's like, of course nobody answered. They just won the national championship. They deserve to have a few days off. We, on the other hand, did not win a national championship. So get to work early. And Coach Beilein would tell that story, man. It's hilarious. It's like the catch-22 of the world, right? Like, dang if you do, dang if you don't, man. And so to answer your question, yeah, there's plenty to do. You know, you try and hope for some rest and recovery, some R&R time, you know, and all that stuff. But, you know, there ain't no rest for the wicked. When the transfer portal's up to 1,300, you're doing all that. We're trying to schedule games next year. Nobody wants to play us. You know, you're doing all this stuff, man.
And,
you
know, in the meantime,
you know, you're spending time with your players and, you know, making sure their academics are on straight and, you know, they're focused and all that. And, you know, just kind of having some relaxed time with your players, more importantly. So there's still stuff plenty to do. I think one of your friends, Coach Candle down at Toledo, knows that, you know, a workaholic in himself, knows there's always something to be done if you just show up, right?
You know, I say this a lot, but if you want to be a successful coach at any level, but especially at the collegiate level, you got to almost have a little bit of crazy in you, right? You got to be just a little bit of a weirdo in order to be successful. And I mean that in the most, like, respectful way possible. But if you look at, at college coaches, whether basketball or football, I feel like, you know, at least with basketball, you guys get a whole season. You know, football, you get, you know, 12 games and poof, it's over. And it's over in like a blink of an eye. You know, in hoops, you can get 30 games. And you
like
can,
a fart in the wind.
Yeah. The next thing you know, the season's over. But in
name
hoops,
that movie.
Yeah, you I can't, but you have the ability to
Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption.
And I have to throw it in there for Joe, formerly known as BC, because, you know, he always comments on my movie prowess. even when you have a superior guest like Justin Cruz on, I still get the nod because of my movie prowess. But anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry to ruin your train of thought.
No, yeah, I was just going to say.
Quick, like a stiff fart in the wind.
Yeah, and those coaches are psychopaths, right? And you have to have this crazy drive, and it's just like, okay, well, what do you do in the off season? Like, what does that, you know, consist of? So you mentioned trying to get games on the schedule. You have exit meetings with your players. What are those like? Like, what is that? Take us inside that meeting room of what that's like to sit down, even if it's your top player or the last guy on the bench. What does that meeting contain?
Well, first, you know, I'll get to that question, but you know, first, what you mentioned, I absolutely agree with, and it's the same thing you guys do. You know, when it's coming to working hard, showing up, being there, there's always work to do, right? You know, I had a coach once tell me in the profession, especially when you're a GA or assistant coach or double, whatever, you know, working your way up to be a head coach at some level, that your best ability is availability. And that really struck with me. And think about it, that's what you do. That's what Dan in the studio does. That's what Matt Shepard did for all of the years. Like, you know, we all have it in some degree or another. Some are more intense. Some are on TV and other people can see you do it. Some are, you know, working 4 to 4s at, you know, in the factory. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like your best ability is availability. And you guys do that too. Like, you know, hey, if I couldn't be around to be the Mud Hens PA guy, Toledo's PA guy, I wouldn't get Michigan. And you know, and I still have to do Toledo and the Mud Hens because, you know, the Michigan PA job ain't going around. I'm going to do the Toledo show. Okay, now I'm going to do a Detroit radio show. So it's the same thing, man. And your work ethic, you know, speaks to where you're at in life, and you know, you experienced that, Dana Studio, Matt Shepard, everybody with that. So but to answer your question about the exit meetings, you know, it's just very honest conversations, honest and open. And sometimes when you get in the grind of a season, right, you don't necessarily communicate all that well because you're worried about winning games individually. As you know, you communicate well as a team and, you know, as a one unit. And if you have success, that's definitely what you're doing. But at the end of the season, it's time to be really honest. Like, you know, most or all Division I NCAA teams have 13 scholarships. You know, we all know that about, what, 8 guys play, maybe, and your ninth is unhappy because your ninth is only playing 2 to 5 minutes. That's pretty consistent around every team around the country. You know, some teams only play 7, you know, and Duke won a national championship playing 7. So there's no right way, there's no wrong way. But the point being, there's 4 to 6 guys who aren't playing, and nobody plays the game of basketball, or nobody goes to college to play the game of basketball, not play. So it's like, now you have different scenarios, but you really, in these postseason meetings individually, you're just very honest with, you know, the players, where they're at, where they need to get better, and how they fit in with the team. And that's why you see the transfer portal where it is. You know, some of the guys don't want to accept the role that they had in the previous year, and it doesn't look like it's going to get better. So they want to go to a, you know, perceived better situation and play more, which is not a problem to anybody, and most coaches will wish you well at that point. So I would say just very frank and honest conversations, you know, 1 through 13, 1 through 15, if you have walk-arounds about those, you know, about your basketball on and off the court successes.
You know, Coach Barlow, Kyle Barlow joining us here on X's and Bros. The transfer portal has been it's been nuts. It's such a strange place to kind of watch and monitor how people react to kids transferring. It's really weird. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of like, if your school is getting a guy, you're going to celebrate him. And if your school has a guy who's transferring out, some will dog him, some will say thanks. And I guess it all depends on what that, you know, young man's impact was on the team. But we see the mobility with coaches, and that freedom of mobility has never really been offered to the athlete themselves. And now it kind of feels like it's open season. I sort of am, I'm on the fence about it a little bit, because I hear what you say when you said, hey, you know, when you're recruiting a transfer, you're recruiting a guy who already knows what he wants. And that's something that's really stuck with me, because the first go around, maybe they were, you know, maybe they just, I don't know, whatever their vision was at 16, 17, 18 years old, maybe it's changed a little bit and they're looking for something new, something different. Hell, it could be just moving closer to home to be close to family. Who knows what their motive is. And other kids could be, they're not getting the playing time, right? We can call it what it is. Yep. They're not getting along with the coaches, and it's just, hey, I want to play more, so I'm going to hit the portal. When you got 30-
and sometimes it's not even that you're not getting along with the coaches. Sometimes you just have a guy in front of you who's better, and there's no shame in that. Like, we've had that happen. You know, every team in the country has that happen. Like, you know, we have a guy who transferred, you know, who played behind Ben Vanderplas. Like, Ben Vanderplas, he's coming back for another year. He's just better. Like, there's no shame in that, right? So, you know, I want to find a situation where I'm going to be dependent on to win games.
So how do we juggle this from a fan's perspective? Like, how do we have a kid that comes in and you're really excited, you know, about him, and maybe he plays, you know, 15 or 20 minutes a game as a freshman, and then is like, you know what, I'm out of here, I'm hitting the portal. Like, you almost feel kind of salty about it, even though we shouldn't feel salty about it. But okay, you want to go somewhere and play, and you want to be the man to win the games. But dude, there's 1,300 people in this transfer portal. Like, there aren't enough roster spots.
Dude, I'll tell you right now, if I had a good answer, I would, you know, be the smartest guy in the college basketball world, which I'm definitely not. You know, I didn't invent the game, but I was in the room, so I think I know a little bit. Me and Dr. Naismith chilling, peach baskets, all
peach
that.
Baskets.
Peach crown baskets. Anyways, but no, man, like, there's no great answer to that question, and it is becoming a huge issue, and it's like, you know, first and foremost, the goal of the NCAA, this is what they say, is, but, you know, put student-athletes first. So it's like, we're making, you know, the transfer portal was, okay, coach, and here's the argument, right? Coaches can leave, so why can't a player leave? And I get it. But it's like, what's in the best interest of our student-athletes? Is it to leave the first time things, you know, get wrong, or things, you know, don't go the way you want? Or is it to, you know, teach a lesson of perseverance and, you know, to muscle through? But there's been a lot of successful transfer cases and a lot of successful transfer stories. So there's not a right answer. There's not a wrong answer, man. I think, you know, some local media outlets in Toledo are, you know, asking different coaches what they think. And there's, you know, there's a wide spectrum of answers. And I just think it's a problem in the fact that you don't have a balance between student athletes, the NCAA, and the coaches. There's no real balance in there besides the fact that, okay, this turns into free agency. And is that what college sports is about? Maybe it is. But it's not what it seems like. It's not what we grew up with, and it's not really what it seems like it should be about in terms of free agency. Now, I get the right to choose, and I support it, but is that really what we want? And should there be other rules in place, like Matt Painter suggested and said, you know, free one-time transfer after your sophomore year? So you give a school 2 years, you know, you don't play as a freshman. Well, there's a lot of freshmen that don't play. So you give a school 2 years, and if you don't like it after that, then you get your one-time transfer without sitting out. You know, so there's a lot of different things that come into play, man. Like I said, I wish I had the right answer. If I did, you know, I'd be the second smartest guy in the room.
Well, I tell you what,
next,
you know,
to you, of course,
I mean, even at
if
that,
we're in the same room.
Even at that point, with like Matt Painter, like, all right, if you're not going to play as a freshman, you're not getting a whole lot of time as a sophomore. I mean, are you going to transfer? And I mean, you could transfer for free. I would transfer and take the red shirt and try to go the graduate route. Like, I would try to extend it and become a super senior, because, you know, why the hell not? Because at that point, like, what are your realistic expectations? And I hear all these different coaches, you know, talking about, all right, you know, we don't want to live in the transfer portal and you can't be successful there. I agree. I don't think you can live in the transfer portal. I think that you got to recruit high school kids and you got to build a program from the ground up. And if you wanted to add a piece here or there, that's fine. But if you're going to make up a bulkier program, having to re-recruit kids every single year to fill in spots that are supposed to be held by sophomores, juniors, and seniors, it's going to be a struggle.
I agree, and I think it's case by case, and, you know, definitely I've known a lot of transfers who benefited from the sit out year, and have even go back and said, I wouldn't have been the player I was if I didn't have that sit out year. So there is some value in that, right? The other hand, you look at the amount of, you know, just players who are looking for the instant gratification. And I think that, you know, people say this is generation. We're not that old, you know, but everyone, oh, this is generation. You got to have instant gratification or else you're going to leave. But it's like, sometimes what's best for you, you don't always know what's best when it's happening. I think that's true for anybody who's, you know, ever experienced up and downs in the professional world, which is just about everybody.
I completely agree. I honestly do. I think that, you know, case by case basis, and you look at guys, now these guys were graduates in Mike Smith and Sean D. Brown, who are going to forego their free year, and they're going to go explore the NBA. And we haven't yet heard from Isaiah Livers or what Eli Brooks is going to do. You know, Livers, I expect to leave. Eli, I could see him returning. Franz, it could go either way. I'm not really sure. But I look at a guy like Steph Curry, right? You know, arguably the greatest shooter of all time. He spent 3 years at Davidson. I feel like in our microwaved instant gratification society here, it almost feels like, look, if you are, you know, a 21-year-old junior or a 22-year-old senior and you haven't left for the league, like, you can't be some sort of success story. And I just don't know how I feel about that. I just think that that's the wrong way to go about it, because everybody develops at different ages. So Amani Bates is really good as a 17 or 18-year-old. Another guy might be really good as a 23-year-old. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah, and I agree with you. There's no cookie-cutter model. If there was, then every NBA team would win an NBA championship, because, you know, and even going through the process with some of our players and, you know, players in the past, it's like some, you know, in the NBA right now, everybody's like, oh, everybody will take an 18 or 17-year-old before a 22-year-old because you want to lock them up into that long-term contract, first contract, and there's a lot of money in play, blah, blah, blah. But it's like not every team thinks that way. And, you know, some teams have had a lot of success drafting, you know, guys who are 3 or 4 year guys. So it's not a cookie cutter model. And that's a reason that, you know, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, right? There's a lot of different ways to win a game, and people know that. And that's what makes sports so fun and so entertaining, right?
I mean, I go to a guy like Sadiq Bey, spent a couple of years there at Villanova. You know, he's our guy right now in Detroit, averaging 12 points and 5 rebounds, and he's shooting the ball really well. I mean, but he was an all Big East kind of conference player. He was a Big East all freshman team player. Like, he had the accolades, and you can see it translated. He's Kyle Barlow. He's got a busy day ahead of him. He's got meetings and classes and God knows what else, film breakdown, try to get somebody on the schedule. Hey, Kyle.
We'll try our best. I appreciate it. And, you know, that's what, like I said, that's what makes sports so fun. Just like, you know, my man who actually was practicing for the PIB Invitational, or PBI, Putin Bay Invitational, by smashing his putter and having to finish out with a 3-wood.
Like, incredible, my man, stuff. Hey,
it starts in June. It's not in April. What are you doing, my man?
I loved it. You know, break a club and finish with a 3-wood. That's perfect. Like, that's the kind of guy that we need out there.
The only time I putt with a 3-wood is at the PBI.
And you never know when you're going to throw your putter in the woods at some point over the summer and be like, hey, because
it's
I had
been
this
known
practice.
To happen. Or Lake Erie. It's been known to happen.
Or Lake Erie. Kyle Barlow, my friend, thanks as always, man. We appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate it, brother. See you, man.